Tattva of the truth, Drisha by knowledge, Apaniyate is extracted. Tasmai unto him. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Sankhya Nidarshanaya, who is the revealer of this numerical knowledge. Ve unto you. Iti, thus. Translation. O my Lord, your name, form and bodily features are expanded in countless forms. No one can determine exactly how many forms exist, yet you yourself in your incarnation, as the learned scholar Kapildeva, have analyzed the cosmic manifestation as containing 24 elements. Therefore, if one is interested in Sankhya philosophy, by which one can enumerate the different truths, he must hear it from you. Unfortunately, non-devotees simply count the different elements and remain ignorant of your actual form. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Philosophers and scientists have been trying to study the entire cosmic situation and have been theorizing and calculating in different ways for millions and millions of years. However, the speculative research work of a so-called scientist or philosopher is always interrupted when he dies, and the laws of nature go on without regard for his work. For billions of years, changes take place in the material creation until at last the whole universe is dissolved and remains in an unmanifested state. Constant change and destruction, bhutva bhutva praliyate, is perpetually going on in nature. Yet the material scientists want to study natural laws without knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the background of nature. As Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 10, mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Now the material creation is manifest. Eventually it will be annihilated and remain for many millions of years in a dormant state, and finally it will again be created. This is the law of nature. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Once more the translation of this text. O my Lord, your name, form and bodily features are expanded in countless forms. No one can determine exactly how many forms exist, yet you yourself, in your incarnation, as the learned scholar Kapildeva, have analyzed the cosmic manifestation as containing 24 elements. Therefore, if one is interested in Sankhya philosophy, by which one can enumerate the different truths, he must hear it from you. Unfortunately, non-devotees simply count the different elements and remain ignorant of your actual form. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So, this is a very technical text, actually. Well, could give a class on technical issues. Here it's mentioned that yet you yourself incarnate in your incarnation as the learned scholar Kapildeo have analyzed the cosmic manifestation as containing 24 elements. So the students, if there are still students here, they should know the 24 elements. So let's see the students by the color of the dress, brahmacharis. You know the 24 elements, of course.
Yeah, yeah. It's five senses.
Yes.
Five sense objects. Five working senses. Then mind intelligence in the world. And there's the soul. Yeah, I have five elements. So that's
about
two.
Mm-hmm. You skipped one.
Well, yeah, what is it called? Mahatattva.
So, five elements like water, fire, air, ether, and
five senses. And five sense objects.
And then three subtle elements, so five is water, fire, air, ether, earth. Then three subtle elements, mind, intelligence, false ego. Then five knowledge-acquiring elements, that is, what are five knowledge-acquiring?
Eyes, ears, skin, nose, and taste.
Mouth, yes. Then, of course, you have the five objects of sense enjoyment, maybe. Rimi, you know? Five objects of sense enjoyment.
So, vision and
sight.
Smell. Sound.
Touch.
Perception,
yes, touch, yeah, okay. And taste, yes. And then we have five active senses. Prabhuji? Yes. And then you have one Purusha, of course, the Mahatattva. So that's the 24. You know, we all know a little, but it's good to try to remember it, give some more scientific basis to our practice of devotional life. But I won't go into that, because here also Prabhupada mentioned that some so-called scientists, they stay stuck in these elements, counting the elements, sankhyas, counting the elements. And actually, Kapildeo mentioned these 24 elements, and he reduced the whole material creation to these 24 elements. There exists nothing next to these 24 elements. But that was the capacity of the Lord. But the scientists are still trying to wonder, to find out if it's only these elements, or, you know, they haven't, you know, reached even beyond these elements. So, Prabhupada is here a little sarcastic. He says, however, the speculative research work of a so-called scientist or philosopher is always interrupted when he dies, and the laws of nature go on without regard for his work. So, you know, they spend their whole life trying to prove something which is already known in the Shastras. but because of their false ego, they cannot accept or surrender to the truth. And still they want to find their own truth. They develop their own truth. So the sarcasm is in its place. It's not like fake sarcasm or unnecessary sarcasm. It's also a sarcasm towards the human being, because Prabhupada is here talking from the platform of the Lord. We see the creation and the Lord from a certain perspective, but Prabhupada is presenting the knowledge of the Shastras from the perspective of God. And actually this sarcasm can be also a sarcasm of Lord Krishna, saying, you know, why do you spend so much time, why do you spend your life in proving or denying something that I have already said and trying to prove, you know, yourself. So this is a wonderful way to understand that the content of scriptures that we have, like Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and so on, that they come from the platform of where Krishna stands. This is his point of view. And if we look at things from that point of view, then we can see the whole truth. Also, it's mentioned that the Lord has many forms. Of course, there's all kinds of avatars, guna avatars, sakyavesh avatars, etc., etc., purusha avatars. And in the Bhagavad Gita, he mentions that he takes a certain form, not for fun, but he has three reasons why he comes. What do you mean? So paritranaya sadhana, he comes, his first reason to come is paritranaya sadhana, to protect the devotees. Of course, when he is here, vinasha, he destroys the demoniacs, and then he establishes dharma samsthapana. But his first reason is upon request of his devotees. He doesn't come to establish dharma because, you know, it's up to us. But he does come to protect his devotees because his devotees are very dear to him. But generally, even that is not the reason why Krishna comes. He has, you know, different agents, like different Vishnus, forms of Vishnu. Lord Kapil is there. And further on you will see these texts are dealing with the different incarnations. Varahadeva will be mentioned and so on. So, yeah, and he comes when we request him. But then at the same time, in the purport is mentioned, constant change and destruction is perpetually going on in nature. Yet the material scientists want to study natural law without knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the background of nature. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, this material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So this goes on for many, 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 many years. And everything is working under my direction. Everything is working. So even the fact that Marak is folding there, the flyers, is under the direction of the Lord. Did you realize that? are we sitting here in class is under the direction of the Lord. Mataji doing some giviks, preparing some giviks, everything is under the direction of the Lord. So why should we bother? Why should we bother trying to improve situation, you know, our situation of the world, the situation of our family? Why should we, you know, the Lord is capable of, you know, doing his work, his thing. So why should we bother? Because this is very, very powerful and very abstract, very absolute. Everything is working under my direction. There is no open end there. Nothing is open there. It's complete, that statement. Our breathing, our walking, our talking, everything is working under his direction. But still, there is a big material creation here, the nature is here, our bodies are here with all kinds of so-called defects. Well, if it's a creation of the Lord, then nothing has a defect, because his creation is complete. It's a text in the Ishupanishad which describes, who knows the text? Ishamashi? Oh. Yeah. So, Om Purnam Adam Purnamidam. Yes, sorry. So, everything is Purnam. Everything is complete of the Lord. But still we are struggling every day to do our best, you know. When I do my service, I'm really in anxiety. Will it work out? Will it, you know. We are all in anxiety at a certain moment in our existence. You know, and at the same time there is this statement of the Lord that everything is working under his direction. So the day before yesterday we had a meeting with the Hindu Forum members. Rather, this is part of Hindu Forum. We had a meeting with the Ministry of Justice for the first time, and to submit our request for recognition of Hinduism in Belgium. Because as far as Belgium is concerned, officially Hinduism doesn't exist. So, the days before, I was in a lot of anxiety preparing the dossier. When we went there, we were, you know, in big anxiety. Will it work out? How will it be? Will the meeting go nicely? Will we have time to express our concerns, issues, etc., you know? And after the meeting, well, how will it, you know, when will the verdict come? And, you know, these are anxieties. It's not unknown. Every one of you have anxieties, isn't it? Who here doesn't have anxiety? We all have our anxiety. And actually we feel that it is normal, isn't it? Because if I wouldn't have anxiety, I would be kind of who? But, yeah, it's good. That is the process. It's like when we have a certain disease, we need a certain remedy. We create, like when someone needs a certain development or schooling or yeah, even therapy, then we create a certain space, like the school. Schools are a certain environment that are created to have a specific development, isn't it? Like in therapeutical institutes, there you have also a certain environment where, you know, it encourages a certain development. Even in prisons, you have a certain environment to create a certain development. A better development, of course. So this material nature, even though everything is working under the direction of the Lord, is created for our benefit. So it's not that we should try to change the world or improve the world, but we should try to find out. Actually, the first thing is we have to confirm and accept that we need remedy. Basically, I don't find myself sick or, you know, ill or mentally disturbed or whatever. But according, from the point of view from Krishna, I am totally disturbed. I am mentally distorted. That's why I'm here. You know, that's why I'm here in this material nature, in this creation. And he facilitates my understanding of who I really am, what my actual role is, and what my focus, real focus in life should be. So this is the purpose of having shelter, having food, having these senses working, this body working, my mind working. It's not to use it for my benefit or to enjoy. You know, sometimes, devotee or non-devotee, we use our intelligence to benefit ourselves, isn't it? When we are outside in the regular society, then we use our intelligence, you know, to benefit ourselves, despite, you know, the taking advantage of others. Not always, to a certain extent, we always take advantage of others. Even when we are here, you know, in this embassy of Lord Krishna, in the temple, still our mind, to a certain extent, it's more subtle maybe, sometimes it's more manifest, but sometimes it's even not manifest to our you know, own perception, but we have sometimes subtle behaviors that we want to still try to enjoy. So, and Krishna is always there. You all may have had some realizations that when you do something, even though it looks to the other devotees, yeah, that's fine, it's okay. But Krishna comes back, isn't it? Krishna makes a little correction. You know, if someone has too much car and compliments about that, Krishna arranges certain thing that we get the right perception again, or we are in the right position again. And if we understand the material creation like that, then we see that we have a role to play, because we cannot say, okay, we don't have anything to do because, you know, I cannot change the world because everything works on the Krishna's direction. So, I can stay aloof from it and just exist. Or I can say, okay, you know, yeah. I can say like, no, I ignore that the Lord is there. I am the one. I am the one and this is my world. So that means when you turn to the Lord, it is a nice, you know, everybody knows that expression from Prabhupada, when you look to Krishna, you look to the sun. When you turn from Krishna, you look towards darkness. So the moment that we turn ourselves away from Krishna, we come to darkness because Krishna is light. And we come in the darkness of ignorance. So in the darkness of ignorance, we found ourselves, if you're in the middle of the forest and it's dark, what is the first feeling or experience that you have?
Fear.
It's scary, unknown where you will go, what will happen, who is around. Fear will surround you. So that is the situation of us in the middle of society when we are accepting that there is no Lord, that there is no higher direction and to which we can peacefully surrender. If we don't have that, we are in constant anxiety. We are then trying every time to either get out of that horrible scene, you know, of darkness, but still, you know, we are running in every direction, only not in the direction of the Lord, because we don't want to surrender to the Lord. And we are continuously trying to survive and protect ourselves. So that is also a waste of time. Every second that we lose, we cannot buy it back. So the moment that we accept that we have to play a role in this material nature as a servant of God and accept His direction and His rule, then only we will benefit with this body, with this existence that we have. And at the same time, Krishna as the main producer, He will be pleased. It's like when Shamananda is organizing a play and he has some actors and he is trying to give them direction, and you know, he's directing it and everybody is doing his own thing. What is that? That's chaos. That's, you know, it's not appealing. I wouldn't go to look at such a drama, of course. It will be a big drama for sure. But so when can we please the main director? Is only when we play our role, and play our role with dedication, with conviction, with surrender, with commitment, with real, real commitment, real surrender. And Krishna tells us the whole through the Bhagavad Gita, through all the shastras, what our role is. In all the shastras, when you read back, all the elements of the Bhagavad Gita is being repeated again and again and again and again and again. Just to make us understand from all angles what our role is, who Krishna is, and why we are safe under His protection. And if we understand that this remedy that we are in, you know, this is nice environment that He has created, it has all miraculous qualities. You know, this whole environment, the material nature, this facility of shelter, the altar, the darshan facility, the facility of associating with devotees, the facility to hearing and reading, the facility to chant, to do kirtan, the facility to eat, facility to also go to the bathroom. All these facilities are miracles that He has put in place to make us develop, to go to a higher platform. Actually, this is the most awesomest miracle that He has created, because everything is perfect. Everything is completely perfect and also complete. There is not one defect in His creation. Often devotees, they, you know, not only devotees, often also you hear that, you know, I am doing so much my best, I am living a good life, why doesn't the Lord stop my sorrow? You know, okay, I have accepted the Lord's direction, but why? Why doesn't He stop the sorrow? Why do I have to encounter so many agonies, so much pain, so much distress? But that's the purpose. That's the way, that's the process. So if we accept that it is a process and there is a guiding hand of the Lord in that distress, in that problem, in that anxiety, then only He will manifest immediately. At some point, Krishna says, I tried to find it yesterday back, but I couldn't find it back. He says, the earth can bear the burden of everyone. You know, how many billion people are on earth? Anybody knows? 17 billion? 7 billion. 7 billion. Okay. 7 billion people. And then you have buildings, you have trees, animals, you have cars, all kinds of boats, containers, goods, etc., etc. That's a lot. It's beyond my mental capacity to understand how heavy the burden is on the Lord. But the earth, she is in more distress when she has to bear the burden of a liar. So she can bear the burden of everyone, but she cannot bear the burden of a liar. So what to speak of millions of liars? So the earth is in distress only because we don't understand what is going on. We want to save the trees, we want to save the world, we want to whatever, you know. But we have to understand who's in charge, what our role is, what we should do. Yeah, even Lord Ram, he came, you know, the Lord came as Lord Ram to establish. He came as a human being. He came to personally show everybody, if you're a human, this is what you have to do. You have to do your duties. You have to establish righteousness. You have to do tapasya. He went into the forest 14 years. He was a rich prince, very, very good looking. He had everything, but still he did tapasya. So he showed us, as a human being, you have to do this. After that, well, when Ram was here, he never mentioned, I'm God. He always said, I'm just a manushya, I'm just a human being. And if someone would say, no, you are my worshipable Lord, he said, no, I'm just a human being, that's your, you know, that's your respect that you're giving me, your humility, but I'm just a human being. Krishna, when he came, he never denied that he was God. He was actually from small on, he was showing everybody that he's God. Why? Because he came here to establish bhakti. You do your duty, that's what Ram said, and Krishna said, You do bhakti, because I'm Bhagavan, you are the Bhak, we have a relationship. And I can show you that I have relationships, not with one person, because Ram just had one wife. On the contrary, Krishna had not one wife. Yeah? So he showed everybody that he could have so many relationships. He had more mothers, he had more wives, he had more fathers, he had so many friends, brothers, etc. So he never hid that he was God. So there is a purpose of him coming here, and don't let it be wasted. Don't let it be wasted that we can have all these facilities to just improve ourselves. Even the smallest politics of the mind can be erased if we take full opportunity of these facilities. Okay. This is a short class, but I think it's good. Anybody questions?
Thank you.
Yes, yes. I understand what you're trying to. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Yes, that's very, very good that you mentioned that, and that's to highlight more, because if we play our role, which I mentioned, if we do our duty, so our duty is to indeed play our role exactly according to the instructions of the Lord. But that means that we have to fully commit ourselves. That means that indeed the anxiety should be there. Am I doing it properly? Am I doing the best what I can? You know, so am I, is everything going fine? Is Krishna pleased? So the anxiety should be there. Is Krishna pleased? So we should be indeed in the anxiety that we are, you know, that we are trying to achieve a certain goal for the pleasure of the Lord, not for the pleasure of myself or for the pleasure of another person or to establish, oh, we are so great. No, to establish that the Lord is pleased. So yeah, it's good to highlight that quality, because it's good to have the anxiety. It's a spiritual anxiety, and actually that is the only right anxiety that we should have. So anxiety in itself is not bad. Anxiety in itself should be transformed to spiritual anxiety. Like when we are the devotees who do the dressing of the Lord. So we are in so much anxiety. Sometimes we, you know, you put this or you want to do that with the dress, but the Lord doesn't want, and then it goes wrong, and you know, it's a, sometimes a whole, so yeah, not a fight, it's kind of negative, but still a struggle to, because you have a certain perception of how you think that the Lord will look beautiful. But He himself, he is being dressed, and he wants to be dressed in a certain way. So he guides you in a direct way how he wants to be, you know, looking that day. And, you know, it's not the realization of one person, it's the realization of all pujaris who are dressing. So you can feel it directly, or also you feel it also in these anxieties. We do our best, and our best includes the anxieties, the proper anxieties that goes with the service. So even if we are mopping the floor, we should be in an anxiety. Oh, what if, you know, someone sees a spot? Let me try to find, you know, all the spot and clean it. So that's the proper anxiety, because it helps you develop the mood, you know, to become a better person and to become the better servant of Krishna. So we are on our way towards the light, but there is still some darkness, you know, accompanying us. So chanting, darshan, class, kirtan, association, the spiritual master, everything is there to help us to put the right, to have the feelings like anger, happiness, envy, everything, to transform them to a spiritual platform. Thank you very much. That was very important to mention. Other comments? Who has anxiety with their service? You? Yeah. Especially today. Today we'll have there is kind of an open day for the area of Alonia. So there is some anxiety for Remy that French people will come. We have to be ready to welcome them nicely, to, you know, present the Lord and his servants and his facilities here in a nice way so that they may feel inspired to also at least, you know, think of the Lord one moment or one day in their life. And in that way we can be instrumental. Anybody else has anxieties? You're quite peaceful. Your Manohar has no anxieties. What do you think? So, my God, that is only anxieties.
I mean, I like to share something related to anxieties. One realization I had in Krishna consciousness about anxiety. Actually, when I first joined, I heard from devotees that the name for spiritual world is Vaikuntha. That means, literally means place without anxiety. And being so ignorant, I just couldn't really relate to this thing. I was thinking, what is this for the name of spiritual world? Is there just something
really yes. Spiritual should have a nicer name than just
mean,
no anxiety.
But it didn't mean really to me because I didn't feel any anxiety. It's like so much cover because why is these two potencies covering and pulling down so you don't really even realize what is happening around you. So then years later, at the time when I was, I must tell, quite properly situated in Krishna consciousness, I was endeavoring very hard to please my spiritual master. And during one Guru Puja, as we were chanting there, and I was jumping, dancing, I was really trying to connect with the spiritual master and pleasing my service and so forth. Suddenly, I felt just came upon me this total relief of all anxiety. It was really total, absolute, zero anxiety, all were gone. And this feeling was so amazing, outstanding, and nothing can really compare to this. And for the first time, it lasted for a couple of moments. It's just when you're going this type of trance, you cannot tell how long it lasts. But only then I realized that actually every single moment of my life, every atom of my being, filled with anxiety, but without that feeling. I mean, now also I cannot really fully relate it, but I just have memory of it. And I know, although I don't feel it at every moment like this, there's no full awareness, otherwise I wouldn't be fucking broke. It is
Well, actually, it's like I heard one class some time ago that actually, you know, when someone has a toothache, constant toothache, our system, our physical system, creates a certain, defense mechanism that it, you know, covers the pain so that you can still exist, function in a so-called normal way. But on the back of your head, you're constantly aware of that pain. So at some point, when the toothache is gone, you feel so relieved, but you are only aware of that toothache the moment that you get rid of that toothache. And then you will know, oh my God, I was suffering so much. Yeah, we all have had that experience.
We all have some
yeah.
Small things that are holding us,
and that confirms also, you know, these special moments confirms that whatever is written in the Shastras, in all these books, is truth. Because we have, every one of us have had some experience, some, even though it was a fraction, that you feel like, wow, no, this is worthwhile to, you know, keep me inspired for a longer period. And then Krishna, when he, you know, when you really try to do your best and so on, and he feels that your inspiration is lacking, then he again gives you what they call in Hindi is chalak, it's a twinkling of the spiritual situation of ourselves, and then we again feel inspired. In Canto 3, Lord Kapildo mentions that when the physical body, the place where perception of objects occurs, you see, so the physical body is just a place where perception of objects occurs. When it is rendered incapable of perceiving, that is known as death. So when one begins to view the physical body as one's very self, that is called birth. So for the materialist, we welcome birth. For the spiritualist, we welcome death. Of course, we will not go, oh, commit suicide or something. But if we are in the right understanding, we are welcoming also the process that at some point this material body will not, you know, will not function anymore. Yeah, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Prabhupada ki jai.